and welcome everyone to Let's Talk About Star Wars. Sitting here with me is Tom Merritt and Jenny Josephson. I'm Garrett Weinzierl, and really, this came about, as any good podcast does, we just wanted to talk about Star Wars, so we decided to do that, but we hit a record button somewhere on a computer, and boom, a podcast was born into the galaxy.
But it was a long time ago, Garrett.
It was, as of the timestamp, 29 seconds ago.
I mean, you might think that sounds near or quick, but frankly, it was a long time ago. It was in this galaxy. That's the only holdback.
Yeah, it was in this very galaxy, not very far away, not all that long ago.
Yeah, this started, it was a convergence, or would it be a vergence?
I think it involved midichlorians. Oh, no, wait, it definitely did.
Oh, we already went there.
And that's how the podcast became a two-host show.
And she's out.
She's off the charts, literally.
Yep.
So Garrett, we're going to talk about Star Wars. I think we should reveal to the people though what our actual goal in doing this show is.
Yes, off the top of our heads anyway. We're here to talk about theories because there's a lot of them going around now that The Force Awakens has come out. Most of us have seen it multiple times. And
Garrett, what's our goal?
We're going to talk about theories. He's right about that, Jenny.
Yeah.
But we have a secret.
What's our motive?
Real goal.
Oh, well, that would be to hopefully one day this podcast becomes such a success and we become such indispensable characters in the Star Wars fanosphere that we get invited to a Star Wars premiere.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not fame, it's not fortune.
No.
It's just to sit in some very old theater chairs.
It's just early access in Hollywood to Grauman's Chinese Theater.
I got as far as walking the dog past the press theater.
You've been the closest of the three of us.
Yeah, but that's not very close. I took a thing and StarWars.com retweeted me and that felt good. And that was nice. But in the end of the day, I still had to go home and watch other people like Anthony Carboni go watch the movie.
Damn you, Carboni.
Damn you.
We want seats in front of Anthony Carboni so that we're closer to the action than him.
Actually, I want to be behind him so I can throw popcorn at the back of his head.
We should surround him.
There you go. Like
Jabba's.
All
right, goal set. We've set our goal.
So from that, we came up with, well, how are we going to do that? We have to start a podcast. How are we going to do that? That's where we got to what Garrett was talking about with the theories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Also, fun fact, I have been lucky enough to see the premiere of a movie at Grauman's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was that?
It was Tangled, the Disney movie.
I remember that movie.
Well, you're on the right press
list.
I remember that
was a movie.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about theories, which is so exciting because we all have lots of them. And right now, I think that's where most of the let's talk about things, if you're past the film critic moment, are currently residing in this year until we get our next Star Wars movie. Although it's a year and a half until we get the one that will explain all of our theories being right or wrong.
Yeah, just to be clear to folks, we're going to spoil things.
Oh, if you're entering this thinking it's a spoiler-safe zone, you are sorely mistaken.
Yeah. No wrong.
Yeah, also, I don't know what else you would expect from such a show. And also, what's wrong with you? The movie has been out far long enough. Get to a theater right now.
Go see the movie.
Oh, Tom.
So how are we going to do this?
Well, I want to kick it off with the question, how many times have you guys seen Star Wars? And I'll throw it to Tom first.
Four. Well, I've seen it four times.
I guess I should specify Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Because
That would be a really hard number to calculate.
Yes,
times I've actually seen any Star Wars movie.
Are we also counting?
I don't even know how many times I've seen the original Star Wars movie.
Oh, I have absolutely no clue. I don't even remember the first time I saw it. I am of the age that I can't remember a time where Star Wars wasn't just something I knew about or it wasn't just a presence in my life.
It was a dark time, let me tell you, Garrett. It was 1976. Gerald Ford was president.
I was 6 months old.
Yeah. We were a nation in transition, overcoming the Watergate scandal. It was something I barely remember. I do remember going to see Star Wars for the first time, though, at a drive-in theater in Springfield, Illinois.
Wow.
That'd be a cool way to see Star Wars for the first time.
It was a double feature with Grizzly Adams.
Wow.
And my parents literally were taking us mostly to see Grizzly Adams.
And had no idea that they were about to change your entire destiny.
They had
heard
like that Star Wars movie was popular with the kids. So they're like, oh, well, that'll be okay too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the first time I saw Star Wars, but I've currently seen it 3 times, The Force Awakens. And I'm only not seen it 4 times because I'm holding out for IMAX and maybe IMAX 3D.
That's what we saw, IMAX 3D. I don't think you can see it non-3D.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can
find a showing anyway.
Yeah, because I've looked for it. I don't believe it exists. I've only seen it 2 times, but my birthday is next week. And guess what we're doing? We're going to see it in IMAX 3D. Because I saw it on premiere in 2D. I saw it the second time in 3D. Just going to continue that ramp up and go see it in IMAX 3D next time.
Now, I know Jenny hasn't seen it with the same people every time because you saw it with like 30 people the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone with the same people both times, Garrett?
No. Katie has come with me because we're married. And we tend to hang out together.
It's required by Florida law.
As a result. Yes, as it is, as is known. Florida men and women must be together at the movie theaters at all times. Yes. No, the first
blue law, but it's on the books.
No, I saw it with different people both times.
I saw 3 of them with Eileen and 1 of them on my own because I needed to take notes for the Pretend I'm Dumb About Star Wars series that I did on my YouTube channel. And I didn't want to bother anyone. So I bought 2 seats in the very back of the theater so I wouldn't have anybody next to me. And it was this weird row that only had 3 seats in it. So I was kind of figuring like if anybody buys, nobody's going to want to buy the other seat if they see 2 are taken because we have assigned seats here. And so I sat in the back furiously taking notes for that. So I kind of didn't see it the same way that time when I saw it alone.
So I saw it with 30 other people the first time. I bought a whole row, and it was a transformative, amazing experience that I'll never forget. And then we had a party where we had a Millennium Falcon apple pie and a Han Solo frozen and carbonite cake. The second time I saw it, why do I not remember?
Because you did it as right as possible the first time, it sounds like.
Yeah, but we definitely saw it the second time, like almost maybe 3 days after the first time. And I was afraid I would like it less, and then I loved it more. And then the third time I saw it on New Year's Day, because that's a holiday. And from now until the end of time, I'm going to see Star Wars on a holiday. And I left with an even warmer, happier, contented feeling. And that was like the most amazing thing. Like I felt more like I was with family rather than like having gone to a movie.
Yeah, that's what that's what I like so much about The Force Awakens is now I'm not one of the, I don't completely hate the prequels. There's parts of it I enjoy, especially the third one. So I have watched them many times, but The Force Awakens is the first time since the original Star Wars trilogy that I really just want to keep rewatching the film. And I don't know, I haven't felt that way in a long time. And I think that to me, that was like the single greatest success of the movie is that I just want, if this was a VHS tape, I would be wearing it out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually reading the novelization. I'm almost done because I just wanted to experience the story again. Yeah. And I've read most of the ancillary material I can get my hand on. Actually, no, that's right. I finished the novelization and I moved on to the short story about the girl in Maz Kanata's bar that has like the leotards on and turns them into the First Order.
Wow. Oh yeah,
Delilah Dawson wrote the book.
Okay, I didn't know there was a short story out about that character. I'll have to go.
Yeah, it's like $1.99 ebook. Well, it's more than a short story. I think it's like a novella length, but it's a mini book.
And I tell you what, that is the magical thing that I took away from my third viewing is that. Because by the third time I had read the book that happens right before the movie starts. What's it called, Tom? It's
The tales, yes, of all 3 of them.
Poe, Rey, and Finn, what their lives were like leading
before the Awakening, I think.
Before the Awakening, I think. And it's a really good, simple book that takes a chunk on each of them. And then I had read like a couple of things here and there, and I read sort of the aftermath, which had some resonance, but not very much, and I didn't like it as much, but that's another story. And what I came away with was, oh, anything that I worried about not knowing in The Force Awakens the first time I saw it is being handled, whether in the novelization or in the book that preceded it or in, I'm sure, graphic novels to come. Like, we are fully in what the film snooters like to call a transmedia storytelling world. And Star Wars always has been that. They had what is now our entire, what is it, expanded universe or legends or whatever they're calling it now.
Now it's called, legends, previously extended universe. And that was the thing I was really amused by when, right after The Force Awakens, because, we had the stuff like the cantina scene with all of these cast of characters. And it wasn't like 2 days later I started seeing bios pop up about background characters that you saw for 3 seconds. And I'm like, well, the extended universe has been called and it's gone. Not gone, but it's not important.
They're going to rebuild.
It's been deprecated.
But there's already a massive extended universe now that's just a canon that Lucasfilm and Disney can wrap their brain around.
I am a child of the new extended universe, because although I read the Timothy Zahn novels and I read Splinter of the Mind's Eye and I read some of the comics, I never really fully dove into all of the extended universe properties, but I did see the movies and I did watch, and I've almost watched all the Clone Wars at this point. And I've been watching Star Wars Rebels. So I feel like, okay, this is an extended universe I am going to live in. So I'm reading The Perfect Weapon is the name of that book that I was talking about. And I've read Lost Stars, which is a fantastic book. And I'm reading all of the new comics that are in the canon. So I don't have that sense of loss that a lot of people who loved the extended universe had when they got rid of it, when they deprecated it. But I do love, exploring this new extended universe. In some ways, I feel like they've got a better handle on how to do it because they had that Wild West version for a while.
And also because the storytelling universe that we live in as consumers of sort of pop culture storytelling has laid the groundwork for it. In fact, the extended universe was part of the thing that laid the groundwork for it, but it built and built and built, and now we get to watch it unfold and deepen and do it with all of the kinds of storytelling that has evolved since then, which is considerable. And wow, the top flight talent is going to be involved in this, in the storytelling of this new Star Wars universe. And that I am so excited for.
Can I bring in a rumor?
Yes.
Speaking of that.
Time.
All right. So Colin Trevorrow was talking to Entertainment Tonight about episode 9. Forget 8. We're going right to 9. And they asked him about Rey's parentage. I'm like, who are Rey's parents? Is that going to be revealed by your episode? And he said, we're going to make sure that the answer is deeply and profoundly satisfying. Rey is a character that is important in this universe, not just in the context of The Force Awakens, but in the entire galaxy. She deserves it. We'll make sure that the answer is something that feels like it was something that happened a long time ago, far away, and we're just telling you what happened. What's interesting is I'm not creating a host of new characters. I have a lot of characters that people really love that we're going to make sure are all honored. No one's going to be left behind.
Mm.
I feel like that told me nothing.
You got to read between the lines, Garrett. He's saying that she's Ben Kenobi's daughter. No, that's not.
Which leads us into.
Yeah.
No, but he's saying A, you're going to find out is kind of what he's implying. We're going to make the answer satisfying. I can't imagine she had no mother or father.
Her daddy was Lorsan Tekka.
She was all midichlorian from the beginning.
Hey guys, were you really angry about the Jesus-fying of Anakin in episode 1? Well, let's make it even worse. There's no parents, period.
No, so they're not going to do that. They're going to give it something good, and they're going to involve a lot of characters we already know, is what he's saying, which makes me think, are there relationships that involve Lando and Kenobi and all kinds of stuff? It's intriguing.
Right, and which just puts more questions in my head, because it sounds like it could, in theory, be anyone that we have previously met in Star Wars canon.
And they asked him about Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, and he said, they are icons, but they're also people that have suffered tremendous loss and challenge over the course of all these films, and he very much wants to find new places that we can take those characters. So it sounds like they'll be in episode 9.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler. So that is spoilery, although not tremendously surprising.
I mean, they'll all be Force ghosts.
Right. That is a way... Although I'm not sure that would be taking them places they haven't been before.
Episode 9, Force Ghosts. It's just all Force Ghosts.
Everyone's
dead. Party.
It's like a Macbeth thing.
Star Wars Ghostbusters.
It's Hamlet. Episode 8 is Hamlet, and episode 9 is Force Ghosts.
Well, that is a solid theory.
Yeah. So if we're going to talk about theories for the first time on the show, should we kick it off with the whole who is Rey's parents thing? Because that is the grandmother of all Force Awakens theory discussion at the moment.
Is the grandmother?
I can't. Oh yes, who is? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can't go on Facebook right now without seeing someone's cousin who's living in their basement for only 3 months. They promise an idea of who they think Rey's parents are. So who do you guys think Rey's parents are, Jenny?
Okay, so I don't think it is Luke Skywalker, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is certainly the simplest answer to make it Luke Skywalker. And I would, if they did it satisfyingly, I'd be along for the ride. But I'll be honest, in my heart, I'm Team Kenobi. And the reason why, there was a really excellent article that I wish I could remember, but there was a whole like layout for Team Kenobi. And the whole thing of how he has always been throughout, by the way, what will be all 9 movies, been the voice of reason and doing the right thing. And the only thing that prevents Rey from being like the granddaughter of Obi-Wan Kenobi is Obi-Wan Kenobi breaking that rule the one time to make a baby. So it's not a simple theory. Whichever Jedi her father ends or grandfather ends up being will have to break a central tenet of a Jedi rule to make
unless
her.
There was no mother. No,
right. I mean, that's right.
Which we're hoping isn't.
Get to the mom in a second. Well, I'm dealing with daddy issues right now. I do think the inclusion of Anakin, the inclusion of Ewan McGregor's voice and like pulling out the little tiny bit of Sir Alec Guinness's voice to throw in there really has some strong resonance towards that theory. And in my heart, I would love to see Obi-Wan Kenobi brought back in a satisfying way here, because he really was, in the dark time of the prequels, Ewan McGregor's character was one of the few shining lights all the way through those prequels. And I'd like to see that honored.
I'm right there with you. Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan was my single favorite thing about all of the prequels. I thought he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I've made my peace with the prequels because I want to like them more than I do. And yet there are, like you said, Garrett, there are parts of them that are good, at least I think. And the story, I feel like, is entirely salvageable. Like the backstory of the middle 3 movies is there. It's just kind of, and the way I made my piece is somebody said this recently and I'm like, that's it. The prequels that we saw are movies that were made in Luke Skywalker's era, over dramatizing the events of what really happened.
Oh, snap. That's genius.
They're like made for TV movies from Luke's.
I mean, if you look at it that way, yeah, it definitely makes it a significantly easier pill to swallow.
Yeah. And so all of the overdramatism and some of the things that don't quite make sense, like, oh, they changed it for the made for TV movie.
That would explain the dialogue.
Got it. you got to go into the Clone Wars if you want to justify Kenobi, because his love interest is Duchess Satine. And that would be the most likely place. And they've made a point of saying Clone Wars are canon, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, they are.
They pulled
them
in.
About that because,
and there's really not much in there that would need to be canon necessarily, unless you're going to do something like that. Also, do you guys know, is there really a Jedi prohibition against having children? Or is it just, I feel like I read somewhere that's just like, well, you're not supposed to have attachments and, you know, having a relationship that leads to babies is a form of attachment. So it's not explicitly prohibited, which would leave the door open for a way that Obi-Wan Kenobi could have not broken his vows, but still had a kid.
And it also leads into a really interesting theory that often, you remember there was another article, and I've got to start pulling these, but where they framed that the Emperor and Darth Vader were really the heroes and the Jedi were this rigid sectarian order.
Yeah, right.
And that's not where I'm going with this, but the idea that maybe the Jedi Order, as it had evolved to by the end of when they all got wiped out in the end of 3, maybe a later Obi-Wan Kenobi would come to the realization that that was a little too far in the direction of being monkly.
And then Yoda can't get to me now.
Yeah, there's none of you left. I'm going to have a baby. No, but in all seriousness, I
come
love...
Come here, Aunt
Beru. Yeah. Oh, no. Then she really could be.
Well, Beru was not a Skywalker because I was like, that would almost
make... Yeah, I know. She was married in.
Rey,
she was married in. Yeah, yeah,
but she does have the bone structure. They have the same bone structure, those two actresses. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, another point to bring up, too, and granted, it's attributed to basically a villain, but we've seen a Jedi have a child in Star Wars. It was Anakin.
Sure.
So it's
that turned out hot.
Well, he was Sith by the time she had the baby, so I don't know if that makes the babies ethnically Jedi or Sith.
They're half. We don't have gender labels or barriers or... anything like that on this show.
Sith and Jedi are alignment, sir. That's nurture versus nature.
Yeah. That is also to say an interesting point, which is so far, if you're tallying up if she's a Kenobi or a Skywalker, which I'd like to get to the Skywalker part of it in a second because I have a theory about that. But the ladies seem to be handling the Force a little bit better than the gentlemen in the entire, you know, so far in the Star Wars canon. Luke's always had his sort of like whiny anger about the Force, and Ben Solo or Kylo Ren is not doing so hot with it either. But there's Leia just grooving with her feelings. She knows everything's going on.
Well, she didn't become a Jedi, right?
That's true. But she's very strong with the Force.
She knew her limits.
And Rey just like locked in and was like, I'm on this. You know, so I do like the idea.
Well, Jenny, actually, there's a counterexample in the Kanan comics. Jedi Master was a woman, and she had very significant troubles. So it was controversial that he chose her as his master.
Well, there's one other woman in the expanded universe that we could talk about if we wanted to go to that other theory of who Rey's daddy is. Garrett, do you know it? Have you read these books?
Oh, you're going non-canon for this.
I'm going non-canon, but hey, there
but
was
someone who could be reinstated into the
into canon. If we're just going to jump into it, all right, let's pause it for a second.
All right.
Have we done everything we can on the Kenobi angle?
I would just like to say that's what I hope it ends up being.
Right.
But I'm not sure they're going to go there.
Yeah, because really...
I don't want it to be Kenobi, because there's a part of me that Jedi vows or not... just loves the idea that he was always kind of his own person all the way through and consistent and had no attachments and lived for the...
He was just a wandering knight.
Yeah, that wandering knight that Alec Guinness introduced us to, I feel like would be lessened a tiny, tiny bit, just a tiny bit, mm-hmm. if he ended up being Rey's father.
Now, you're not... I guess you said you're almost done with the Clone Wars, but if you're to the Satine stuff, you're... not Satine. Is that her name? The Mandalorian.
Yeah, the Mandalorian Duchess.
Duchess, sorry, not Queen. I really enjoyed the Clone Wars, and as much as it played against the image of Obi-Wan I had in my head, he just comes off as such a dashing playboy in Clone Wars, and I like that. I like that spin on him. That it's just a side of him you just never saw, because it's like finding out about your parents when they were young.
Mind your feelings.
At some point in your life, we all hear the fun stories that our parents never told us when we were young. And I liked it. It's like, no, Obi-Wan was a human being. It was wartime. He was a sailor. He was getting around.
Love it.
So I don't know. Right. I also like seeing him as corruptible, but not, you know, that a Jedi can be corrupted, but they don't just immediately go to Darth Vader. It's like, no, he just was in love.
Or they make a decision.
As far as it went.
And then they live with
Fisto's. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, let's talk about Luke.
I think Rey is related to Luke. I think she's a Skywalker.
I think so too. And that's what I think they'll go with. And part of me just think it's too convenient and boring.
Is there a way for her not to be Luke's daughter, but be a Skywalker?
I don't know. Wait.
Unless Han and Leia are really, really bad with their memory.
Well,
Leia.
Okay, so it would have to be in the Lars era.
Right.
Because you have Shmi. I mean, Luke Skywalker is Anakin. I don't know if there's a way. In other words, could she be related to Owen Lars, who is the son of Shmi Skywalker.
It defies the simplicity of storytelling that...
Wait a minute. Owen was a...
No, he's a half.
No, he was...
There were no Shmi kids.
Yeah, she wasn't Shmi. He wasn't Shmi. Yeah. You're right.
And any version of that, anything that comes off a sideline defies the simplicity. It defies what they've said this trilogy is all about, which is family and specifically the Skywalkers. And so... If Luke is the father, then the more interesting question, and I think the one they might be headed towards, is who was Mama and why did she leave that baby on Jakku?
Obviously, it's Leia. And so that's why she gives Rey the hug.
Yeah.
And that's why she embarrassedly left the baby on Jakku, because that's not okay.
Well, all right. We could talk about Leia in a second as the mother and somebody else as the father who is not Han Solo, because who knows what their relationship was like.
Yeah, because they split up.
You never know. That's actually a thought that I don't feel like I've seen thrown around there, but I feel like you'd have a more complicated reaction to your mother if all of a sudden you saw her again and she's this big general and you're like, why'd you leave me on Jakku?
But she wouldn't recognize her.
Oh, that's fair. But she did hug her. Like, that hug needs to be explored in Theoryville.
There's some hug. Yes.
There's some hug language.
Motivation.
Somebody knows who somebody is in that hug. I'll put it that way.
Or suspects, at least. Yeah.
But before we get off Luke as the daddy, I do want to bring in my pet dream. It's not even a theory. This falls into the dream cast here. That somehow they will find a way to reenact, if not in name, then in spirit, the super badass... Emperor's hand that was a lady named Mara Jade in the original Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy, because that was actually the first super strong, proactive, complicated female who had full-on Jedi powers that we saw after the first three movies in that timeline. And man, I loved that character because she had sass. She ran a smuggling organization. She hated Luke Skywalker. Spoiler alert if you haven't read these books. And then they proceeded to then have a very complicated relationship that ultimately led to babies along many, many, many books later. And the idea of that character, that's a character that would dump their kid off on a deserted planet in a heartbeat. And that's what makes me think. And then she goes off and does whatever. She's not in the picture anymore, whatever. But there is a character floating out there that they could resuscitate the DNA of and make it very satisfying to counterbalance. Yes. Oh, I see the finger of theory.
Yes. I would like to present the finger of theory as a new thing on this show that will happen. Just backing up what you're saying. Okay. There's a rumor that they've been casting a lot of females, mm-hmm. In parts unknown. And then IMDb for episode 8 lists Max von Sydow as Lor San Tekka, mm-hmm. and lists Harrison Ford as Han Solo, which would imply, since both those characters are dead, that we might be getting a flashback scene in episode 8. And then if we have one of those female characters that's being cast be Mara Jade, we might see the situation that leads to Rey being left on Jakku and get to meet Mara Jade, get to see Han Solo once more, and find out a little more about why Lor San Tekka was on Jakku.
Ooh, Garrett, what do you think?
I'm curious about the age difference between Kylo Ren and Rey.
Is there one?
It's like 5 to 10 years, looks like.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Because in my head...
Spitballing there.
In my head, I thought Rey was being hidden on Jakku, very similar to how Luke was hidden on Tatooine, because stuff was going bad in the Force, a.k.a. Kylo Ren trying to extinguish the Jedi Order.
It could be longer. It could be that Kylo Ren was like 20 years older than Rey. That could be.
Yeah, I mean, with the way they look and the way they've dressed them up in the movie, it seems like there's a smaller gap, and that would make mm-hmm. that the theory I have in my head not make sense.
Though. So
yeah. Right, we don't know.
Timeline is squishy.
Right, right. Because no one states their age at any point. We don't know how old Kylo is. We don't know how old Rey is.
I mean, Daisy Ridley is 19. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right, but that's
and you can Driver is Veronica Belmont's age.
Maybe. Ooh, now I'm not gonna say anything.
I know that off the top of my head.
No, I don't think it's the same. But I couldn't do
this
the math.
Theory, Tom, the finger theory, the theory of finger, I really like. I just realized we're an audio podcast and nobody saw you hold your finger up in a really super excited fashion made it be a theory, but we're gonna dub it so anyway.
So Adam Driver's 36.
Oh,
so that's Daisy Ridley's. Let me check.
If she's 19, she's got to be around that age. Although again, I don't really know. But in the movie, I mean, you could state that they were slightly younger or slightly older than they actually are. Because that's the way
13 years difference between them. That's possible. That's probable. You could stretch that out.
And in her her Force vision, where we get some flashbacks of her being left on Jakku. I mean, how old does she look? Like 7, 8?
8.
Maybe 8.
She looks real young.
So approaching maybe 10. So because we don't know how old Kylo was when he turned on on the other Jedi that Luke was training. So because that's exactly how I took it, because we've seen a Force sensitive child left on a backwater planet for their protection before, and The Force Awakens already pulls with our knowledge of the past movies a lot.
Yeah, and remixes.
And with an older man guardian lurking somewhere unseen off in the distance, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, you've got old Lor San Tekka, guy who happens to rub elbows with Princess Leia, just floating around in a nearby village for no apparent reason. So it is echoing. It is calling back these things. And I definitely think you're going to see that explained. I also think you're going to see some really classy Ant-Man-level smoothing on Max von Sydow and Harrison Ford. I don't think you're going to see Harrison Ford at current age. You're going to see a nice sort of like maybe slightly post-witness or get off my plane era Harrison Ford One. Face. That would be entirely appropriate for that. And I think you'll see a much very smoothed out Max von Sydow.
I'd be down for that. But I'm down for that. Yeah, as far as who the mother is, I really have no idea. I think an interesting theory could be maybe the mom is related to Obi-Wan.
Oh, that would be cool. Because we never found out who Obi-Wan's family is, did
we?
Yeah, we
don't know anything about the rest of his lineage. It could be
the mother could be a Kenobi.
Yeah, it could be Obi-Wanda Kenobi, the sister that we never heard about.
It doesn't even have to be the sister, because you think about how old Obi-Wan was. Obi-Wan could have had a daughter that was around the same age as Luke. Or Luke could like older ladies, you know.
That's true.
No judgment there.
Yeah, just in the Kenobi line, like, I do love that idea of bringing somehow the Kenobis back into it, because that guy's pretty cool. I just had another thought about parentage I had a theory that maybe Rey's mother was one of the Jedi that was struck down by Kylo Ren. So she was just a kid.
In my head, that was one of the first things that clicked. I was like, I just assumed that. I assumed
that's
Luke,
why they licked, you know.
Part of the reason Luke went into super hermit mode was because he was so stricken by grief. Not just because he failed as the new head of the Jedi Order, but also that his failure led to the death of someone.
His wife.
Wife-ish person.
And the endangerment of his child. And he didn't feel like he could protect her, that it would just be more dangerous for him to be with her, because then Kylo Ren would sense him. And she was too young to be sensed, so Leia decided to put her in charge of an old friend, Lor San Tekka.
Yep.
Yeah. Ah, pieces falling into place there.
And that would also open up a bigger dialogue about why Jedi shouldn't love, why they shouldn't get married, why they shouldn't have children, and that it could also be open up the floodgates to have an offspring of Kenobi.
Maybe
and
that's
it was
the
Maz
thing.
Maz Kanata's sister.
But here, let's go back to love for a second, because that actually brings us to the interstellar theory of love as an arrow that guides you to the right location for your future populated planet. But
I like the
idea that maybe the idea of bringing balance to the Force is allowing someone to fully be a human being in all of their facets And love is a big part of that. And that sort of that love is what the Jedi's kind of carved out of their monk-like existence, maybe to their detriment. And if Rey is the one who's able to bring that back around, maybe that's how she brings balance to the Force.
Agree. I would like to see the arc being Rey breaking the cycle. Whether the cycle
Rey breaks the cycle by marrying Finn, Lando's son.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which we'll talk about next time.
You know what? I was thinking it would be really nice if we had a board somewhere on the internet where we could put all these theories up and people could vote for them, because I've already forgotten all the theories that we've said. Has anyone been keeping track? I wasn't keeping track.
No.
Nope.
All right. Well, dear internet.
Dear internet, indeed. Well, I think that's probably a good place to leave it for our first episode.
I don't want to leave.
I don't either.
I want to talk about Star Wars all the time.
Jenny, there is another episode that we could do next sometime. Cool.
Sometime soon.
This is not our last hope.
Can I say one more thing about Star Wars to wrap it up?
Sure.
Yes.
I love it.
It's
such a good movie.
I'm so happy it's back.
Happy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just glad it's back. And I think the argument is over now. Like, we don't have to apologize for liking Star Wars.
Yeah, that's nice. You don't have to like caveat everything. Like, well, I like the story on the lore. And
Darth Maul's cool. Ewan McGregor did a good job. And most of episode 3 up until I Have the High Ground is pretty great. So, which, by the way, that up until that point, that movie is fantastic.
From my perspective, you're the one that's me.
Okay, yeah, maybe not.
Okay. Let's not end on the prequel. let's end with the fact that this movie has broken almost every single record that there is to break. I think there's one more slot it has got to triumph over Avatar, which is in total global.
And it's just getting started in China.
Just showed up in China like last weekend. That J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy's theory that they had to reground us in the lore that we loved in order to go further in the next bunch of every year movies was correct and justified by the box office. And this is something I take away from all three viewings, is that they are being so careful and so thoughtful about how they bring those resonances back into this movie and back into this world. And I'm team Force Awakens. I really am. And I would be interested in someone who tried to convince me out of it, but I would probably give them a billion reasons why they're wrong.
Yeah, I'm not.
I've already gotten.
If they don't like it, that's fine. Just don't rain on my parade. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, don't come here.
Yeah, don't rain on my parade, because I will come after you aggressively. I've gotten into some like conversations that it made me feel like I was back in elementary school with people like naysaying.
Wow.
Like, no, let me tell you why you're completely wrong and clearly haven't paid attention to any Star Wars films in your life. So. Mm. It's great. It's good. I even enjoy the naysaying, because I love having nerd arguments again. So feels good. It's back, man. Welcome back, Star Wars.
Yeah. So. Force is back.
Anyways, everyone, we will see you next time for the next Let's Talk About Star Wars.
Email us feedback@letstalkaboutstarwars.com. Tom says, having barely set up the email address and hoping it's working by the time you hear this.
I was just about to say, didn't know that existed yet, but I'm glad it does. Email us
there.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
Yay.
And an extra special thanks to the Andrew Allen Trio for our intro and outro music. You can hear more Star Wars music from them on their album Live from the Cantina, a Star Wars jazz tribute.